Today, we're continuing our conversation about intimacy with the divine. Last week, and actually let me start a couple weeks ago, we were talking about miracles. And do you believe in miracles? Yes. I'm glad someone answered that. Yes. You know, because in today, amen. There you go. Because in today's world, it's complicated, isn't it? In today's world, we're overly involved in the news, overly involved in CNN and in MSNBC and in the newspapers, and constantly getting the bad news, and constantly with each and every day that we get the bad news, we're looking for a miracle. And because we don't hear that miracles are happening, because all we hear are the sensationalized music or news, we lose track that, yes, miracles happen each and every day. And because our world is so chaotic, it isn't just the United States, it's the world. And because this is not political, but because our current presidential administration, their managerial style is keep it moving, keep it a little confused. I think we all feel like we're off of our foundation. And more, as I spoke to last week, I'm hearing more and more people come to me and just say, I know God is there. I know God's everywhere present. I know that intellectually, but I'm just not feeling God. I'm just not feeling the connection that I used to feel with God. And I don't know what to do about that. Where is God today? Where is God when I'm hearing about Syria? Where is God when I'm hearing about ISIS? Where is God when I'm hearing about Trump? Where is God anytime that I'm hearing this news? And I'm here to tell you, God is right here. Crystal, I know that intellectually you say to me. But how do I get to it? Therein lies kind of the intro, a little summary of what I talked about last week. So many times in times like this, sometimes we might want to revert back to our childhood thoughts and get on our knees and pray. Or just pray to God, God, help me. God, where are you? And we want to say that God is everywhere present. But for the most part, most of us are looking for God to come to us. We're looking for God to do for us. We're looking for God to create the action. And in reality, if we want to have a connection with God, if we want to feel the connection with God, we must also pursue that which is already there. We have to open up the doors. We have to take off the sunglasses, take off the blinders to our eyes to be able to look for that which is saying, beloved, I am right here with you present. All you have to do is open up to me. All you have to do is love me like I love you. That's all I'm looking for. And isn't because God has this grandiose ego that we are taught in Christianity or in other religions. No, it is for our knowing. Because God knows everything. God isn't this person up in the sky, this judgmental, authoritative figure that is looking down on us, telling us that we have to do anything. No, God is there everywhere. But if we want to see God, we also need to pursue God. If we want to feel the connection with God, we need to pursue that which is around us, because inevitably it is us who has disconnected. God can never, would not ever. God would never, could not ever disconnect from us. But in so many ways, we try to disconnect from God. I used the analogy and said that at some point in time, I believe we should stick with the symbolism of God as mother, father, as that parent. But we're talking about God as the beloved, like the Sufis, like Rumi or Hafez, speak of God as the beloved, that God is the husband and we are the wives. And I asked, have we been faithful wives? For God is always faithful to us. But have we been the faithful partner, trusting and loving in that God? Or have we been making idols of other things? That's what I'm talking about, being faithful. And for the most part, we have our faith and our trust in other things of the world. And we ask ourselves, how come I don't feel a connection anymore? How come I don't feel God? And it isn't necessarily our fault or of our consciousness. Something within our subconscious mind, maybe the world and the chaos continually to go, and for us to follow through in the world, we find ourselves disconnected. So now, even more and most importantly, do we need to get back to that connection. And so I left you last week with, well, how do we do that? How do we get that connection? That was a good sermon, Crystal. Thank you very much. But how do we move forward? How can I open the door to God so that I can feel that? How do you form any good relationship? It's really as simple as that. It's first the want to form a great relationship with the beloved. And the Bible initially says it this way. Oh, before I say that, one of my favorite quotes is from Robert Mandel, and he talked about intimacy. And he said, intimacy is into me see. Into me see. And that's what we need to do with God, is have this continual investigation to see into God, for that is our connection. And I know intellectually in unity we say God is everywhere present, God is here, God is there. But do we really want to move forward and see God, get to know God, love God? I also put many of us, I put myself in there, are we in love with God? Many times I've told you the story of one of my teachers who asked me that point blank question. I stuttered, I knew I should. But could I truthfully say I was in love with God? Like the Sufi people who are passionate about the beloved. The fact that they call God the beloved. Anytime you're called beloved, don't you feel good? And aren't you saying that you feel good about that person? To say that God is your beloved, that love that will never fail you, that love that runs deep within you, that love that only loves you in that special way. That is how God is personal and impersonal. God is personal to each and every one of us, has its own special language. And yet, because God is personal to each and every one of us, that kind of makes God impersonal, right? We can say that he is our favorite. We are his favorite son, but actually, we're all the favorite. God is impersonal in that God is just out there. God is. But we're talking about the personal God. So in the Bible, one of the ways to see into me, it's Proverbs 9:10. And it says, from the Christian perspective, one of the ways you can get to know God is to the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I know we kick around this word fear. I know Orthodox religion has kicked around the fear, but hold on for a second. In the Jewish Tanakh, it also says the fear of the Lord, Yahweh, is the beginning of wisdom, the knowledge of the all-holy and understanding. What I would give to you is that the Arabic Bible in plain English gives more of what the definition of fear is. The beginning of wisdom is the awe, A-W-E, the awe of the Lord, Jehovah. And the knowledge of the righteous ones is understanding. So we first have to understand God is to be in awe of God. So what is being in awe of God? It is that feeling, that extreme feeling of reverence. It's that extreme feeling of admiration, of wonder and wonderment. That when we look out into the world, when we look out into another human being, we see the God in them and we are delighted and in awe of the magnificence of that which is God. We know that God is everywhere present, but do we see the beauty of it? To be in fear of it is not to cower by the authoritative God that is going to spite you, to cause any harm. No, it is getting to know God. It is getting to know the beauty and the majesty and the wonderment, and to love it deeply. Who can look at a little puppy, if you like dogs, and not just melt in the awe of creation? All right, for your cat people, kitten. For any baby of any species, right there is the wonder and beauty of creation. Right there is awe in the eyes of the beloved, right where that baby or infant of any species is at, whether it's human. I give you that even if a sprout is coming up of a plant, its beauty of its greenness, its freshness, it's beautiful. And to be in awe of how anything comes about, and then to love it. You know, we start first with being in love, having an intimate relationship is being in love, right? I read something, I think I agree with this, that love, we call love an emotion. I want to play around with this a little bit, that it's actually like is more of an emotion. Love is an aspect of respect, being honest, and honoring the person. I won't, don't look at your partners when I say this, but how many of you can love your partner or your loved one, but sometimes you just don't like them? Don't look. Don't look. But you still honor that love. You honor that. And that's what we're saying that you need to do with God. Again, this isn't, any of this that I say isn't about God wanting us to do it. It is us as humans who need to do this so that we move forward in the love. God doesn't love us. God is love. God is a being. God is everything that we use to magnify and manifest and create. So it is us loving God, using that love, which is God, to love this universal entity. So the first aspect is to be in awe of everything and love it. And how do you do that? Well, there is a term that I invite you to use. Well, actually, I'm going to give its definition because you're going to go, breath is a term? Breathing. I know in every metaphysical teaching, in every religion, we go automatically to the breath. Anytime you're filled with stress, we go to the breath. I want you to, anytime you breathe, think of the breath in a slightly different, well, in a hugely different way. There is a term in Hebrew called ruach, R-U-C-H, ruach. And it is defined as breath, spirit. It is the, okay, Deb, you might have to help me with this one. It is the, oh, I can't find it. It's the ruach.
Ruach.
Ruach. Ha. It's Holy Spirit. Ruach. Ha-Ivanka. Doesn't sound like Ivanka, but... which is the breath of God. Every breath you take, you're breathing in the Holy Spirit. In Genesis, when it talks about the wind hovered up over the land, it was the Holy Spirit. It was the wind that was hovering over. In Genesis, when in the second story, when it talked about Spirit breathed life into it, it was Ruach who breathed life into it. It was the Holy Spirit that breathed life into it. We talk about God is everywhere present. It is the Spirit. It is this breath of God that is everywhere present, that is constantly giving us life. So instead of just saying, I'm breathing in some oxygen, know that you are breathing in God each and every time you breathe. So the next time you want to feel a connection with God, remember that you are breathing in the life, the breath, the wind, and the Spirit of God. So let's do that right now, actually. I invite you, because the breath of God is always there, what we need to do is to allow it in freely with that consciousness. So anytime you find yourself in a precarious situation, a place that is causing you tension, all you need to do is, yes, breathe, but breathe in with the knowledge and say, Spirit, I accept you in my being. Yeah. Spirit, I breathe in your life as my life. Spirit, calm me with your love. Spirit, I breathe you in me. Use me. And you can come back. I don't know if you can feel it, but I can feel the energy shift already. And that's really all you need to do. It's just not just go in and breathe. Yes, the breath and knowing the breath is beautiful, but when you breathe in with the consciousness that I am breathing in Spirit, I am breathing in the life of God, it puts in a different connotation, a different substance. And therein lies the start of knowing that God and I are one, that God is even closer to me than my breath itself. God is the breath itself within me. And the true source is God. And that, thank you, Michael, because that brings us to the next component. As you're breathing in, let us also have a confidence in the nature of God. And so what is the nature of God? The nature of God is the truth that God is an energy. It is a universal energy. It is that common denominator that is all over, not just this universe, it's all the universes. When we breathe in, we have said the quotes of so many people that we breathe in star stuff. We're made of star stuff. It is ignorant of us as humans to think that our air isn't shared throughout the universes. Come on, meteors are constantly slamming into the Earth's atmosphere. We are constantly breathing out, and it isn't just locked in this dome. We breathe in the universe and we breathe back to the universe. That energy is constantly shared. It is one. And that universe is God. The nature of God is good, all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present. It's non-judgmental. It can only be love. The true nature of God is that just wants to take care of you. But for us to open up, we need to realize that this presence is there with us, that we breathe in this presence, and that we love this presence. Because as we love the presence, anything that you love, what you want to investigate even more. You want to get to know more about it, don't you? You want to get to know about the feeling and the ebb and the flow of that which you love. That is what the awe of God is about, is knowing the ebb and the flow and the majesty of the beloved. Charles Fillmore says that the nature of the divine, of the deep inner life, is revealed only to those who spiritually penetrate into its source. Rumi writes, "My beloved, know that my beloved in hidden form is hidden from everyone. Know that she is beyond the belief of all beliefs. Know that in my heart she is as clear as the moon. Know that she is the life in my body and in my soul." The beloved is as clear as the moon. The beloved is in your is life in your body and in your soul. So yes, breathe in the beloved, love the beloved, and continue to move forward. What do you do next? Pardon? You already love. So now, in a great relationship, we have open and honest communication, yes? And yes, you do that in prayer and meditation, but again, you're going deeper. You've already established the connection of the Ruach. Better pronunciation, Deb? That Spirit, God, lives within you with each and every breath. Now let's communicate. It isn't just a, God, please give me this, or please heal that, or please prosper this. Meditate and listen. It's an open dialogue between you and God. It's in many theories, especially in unity, every word is a prayer. So as you're speaking your words out, speak to God. Every time I come out here, I go, God, speak in and through me. If you need, if you're worried about what to wear, go, God, what should I wear today? And listen. If you're worried about how to communicate with your person, your beloved within the skin, God, how do I communicate? God, where do I go? God, what do I do? Constant communication. God, tell me about yourself. Reveal yourself. God, I need to talk because some stuff isn't working out. It is a constant, honest, authentic communication with God. Honest and authentic. Honest and authentic means that if there's some trouble happening and you're kind of lacking in faith, I think it's all right to say, you know, God, I'm not liking this pathway right now. I'm not liking the fact that I'm feeling a little alone here. I'm not feeling you. It's all right. When I was in seminary at Unity Village, when I first got in there, everything was taken from me. Some way, somehow, I felt like I was alone. And the worst part was I couldn't take my beloved animals. I had promised all four of my animals that wherever I was going, they were going. And for a longer story, which I won't tell you, I could not bring any of them with me. I was heartbroken, and I felt like, yes, I believe that you should keep your words even to animals. That even to my beloved four-legged children, I had betrayed them. And I was alone in this new place, and I would go on this thing called the labyrinth, this beautiful labyrinth at Unity. And I would walk the labyrinth. I'd go round and round in little twists and turns. And there were times I was so mad at God that I would tell God how mad I was. And at the end, by the time I got to the center, I would be all flushed out. And I had no fear of having this open, honest dialogue with God because I knew the first thing that I told you, that God is love, and that there is no way, no possibility, and no way that God could not love me, no matter what I said to it, no matter how confused I was with it. God was just going to love me. And so in the center of the labyrinth, I would just say, thank you, God, for allowing me, for listening to me, and for still loving me. And I would sit there in meditation, all cleansed out, And I would hear, then I was capable of truly hearing the messages that God was sending me, the messages that God is constantly sending me. That is the communication. That's when we go to a deeper level of prayer and meditation, when we can honestly, without fear of that old time religion, to allow God and you to talk. And trust, you and God have your own way of communicating. Don't ask if you have a partner, don't ask, how is God communicating to you? Because that's their business. The way God communicates to me and the way God communicates to you is your business. The thing you need to do is to develop that conversation and that love language between you and God, because you have one. God has given it to you all the time. It's just a matter of us individually opening up to it. So that is the next thing. Communicate. Learn the love language between you and God and utilize it. Practice. Be patient as you're learning this love language, as you're practicing the flow of open and honest communication one by one. Two things really quickly. Expect great things. Expect great things from this relationship with God, with this intimate relationship with God. Last but not least, have fun.
Amen.
Have fun with God. Yes, I said it. Have fun with God. Play with God. Enjoy this relationship, because ultimately we are here, yes, to embody God, to be the hands and the feet of God, but to also enjoy life. And God is guiding us in each and every way to feel itself, be itself within us, and to enjoy life. So revel in the breath, revel in your communication, revel in your relationship, and have fun. And so with that, beloveds, let us just thank God right here, right now, for having your being moving within us. We open up our hearts, we open up our minds, we open up our souls to you, wanting that open relationship, that intimate relationship with thee. Allowing thy will to be done within us, through us, as us. Thank you, sweet Spirit, for your everlasting, unconditional love that we bathe in, delight in, and that we are in awe of. Amen. And so in your bulletins and on the walls projected up, we have our affirmation. Let us say our affirmation together. My soul is open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit today. Amen.